Good morning. Today is Friday, December the 1st. Not fair, not fair. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Does it feel like December to you?
You know, it's it certainly feels like Christmas is not far away and weather's a little bit chillier in the evening. So, yeah, it's not like my Minnesota winters that I experienced all those years, but...
Oh, I see. Well, that's better than the winters growing up in Nebraska, right, that we heard Johnny Carson talk about for decades?
That's right. You know, when you had to walk uphill through the snow both ways, you know, that's...
Against the wind.
Against the wind.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Our quote this morning is a proverb. It's a German proverb. Leave tomorrow till tomorrow.
Always good advice. Deal with today today.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. Well, it's been an interesting couple of weeks for you and the gang at the city, huh?
Well, it's always interesting. But, right, there's actually been a number of interesting public meetings that have gone on and have been well attended.
Fire chief also. I know
fire chief,
right. When you get into personnel issues, you can't say too much. But certainly for a lot of us on the outside, stunner. I've had people ask me if I knew any. Why would I know any? Stunner. So without talking about the whys, how about the what is at this point? Where are we? And I know it's an agreement between the city,
right,
and the fire district. So mm-hmm. Nobody's really in charge, but that's okay. What are you hearing?
Well, right. Just for those who maybe don't understand too much about how Humboldt Bay Fire is set up, it was established in 2012 through as a joint powers board between the city and the fire district. So we have two city representatives, and there's two district representatives. We have equal representation, and our current two city representatives are Kim Burgell and Austin Allison, and the city, because based on a formula of calls for service and population type things are taken into account, we pay 65% of the cost of Humboldt Bay Fire. So obviously it's, you know, that budget is a very important part of the city budget, even though the fire chief, you know, wasn't a department head of the city. Certainly that budgetary impacts and the service impacts to the community. I mean, we have three fire stations. And it's an active fire department. I think everyone says that this isn't a sleepy town when it comes to fires.
Right. Well, medical aids.
Yeah, and a lot of that.
Yeah, and there's certainly a lot of overplay. And, you know, for those of us that were pushing for it for 35 years or 40 years or longer, it seems to be working out really well. With that as a backdrop, however, it's been interesting, you know, and I hate to think it became political, but it obviously became political. Some of those folks that you were alluding to made it part of their political campaign that they were going to be doing certain things. And I'd hate to think that was the reason for the turnover, is because there was a conflict. But moving ahead... Okay, you've got a temporary, then you'll have an interim, and then you'll have a mm-hmm. new hire. What kind of timeline is that on?
You know, I haven't talked to them too much in the last week, but certainly they wanted to take a little bit of time to decide about an interim, because I think there's a couple of different potential ways as a board they could go, and then trying to determine how do they want to go about on a search for a full-time fire chief? Because certainly, as you know, that typically takes 6 months if it's a search that includes both internal and external.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is Memory Making Music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, Easy Radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 824. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, so what is the current status with the fire department? What is it going to be something similar to what, and I realize, again, it's not just the city, but similar to what EPD went through when Steve Watson was selected after Andy Mills left, that same kind of timeline? Is that kind of what your sense is?
You know, that's what my sense is right now. But, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, I'd never even been to a JPA board meeting.
kind of got motivated quick, huh?
You know, certainly had put it out there before. Happy to go anytime they want information on city budget or whatever else. And no one ever took me up on that. And
really,
that's right.
It's intriguing.
So
yeah, show up with donuts. Everybody would love to see you.
I could probably do that, but but no, I think it's always a tough decision as to where you're replacing a fire chief, police chief, you know, positions such of that nature, and also that broader picture that we've talked about on this show before, and it's been manifest itself out in the news lately about. The difficulty of recruiting positions, professional positions into Eureka, Humboldt County. We saw just in the, you know, in the news the last few days, the teacher shortage and number of reasons for that. We've heard about doctor shortage and number of reasons for that. Police officers and so it's a pretty systemic problem.
Kind of a reflection of lack of economic viability in the area.
That's a big piece of it, because
there's certainly a connection there.
Because pay isn't commensurate to the cost of living here. Now, you could make that same case for a lot of other communities in California as well. But it's wages have been depressed here for a long time, and housing costs have started coming back after the Great Recession. So,
and very little additional construction. So it's kind of like
right.
A fixed supply.
Right.
As demand starts to creep up, which I guess is about as smooth a transition as we can get to the efforts that Rob Holmland and his guys are
right.
doing, trying to look at the future of Eureka. I was in the background at the meeting on Tuesdays, and some saw me, but I didn't voice anything. What sense do you have with the outreach that Rob and his team are doing that? I would like to think that they were citizens of Eureka, but you know, I saw a lot of cars that weren't Eureka cars at the mm-hmm. at the meeting, so I know that there's a lot of outside influence being attempted. So I don't know how you're really going to tell what Eureka wants for Eureka rather than what mm-hmm. Arcata or Fortuna may want for Eureka.
Right.
Yeah, I am a bit jaundiced that with the balloon track, those outside of Eureka had no compunction whatsoever or hesitation in telling Eureka what to do. Same mm-hmm. with the Target and Montgomery Wards when that situation was going on, when Walmart was trying to come into town the first time and then the second time. It seems like a lot of folks don't see that it's a two-way highway. They can come in and tell us what to do, but we can't tell them what to do in their towns.
Yeah, somehow I don't think Eurekans are going to the other communities and doing that, but we get a bit of that here, that is for sure.
So what kind of sense do you have, and how are you able to separate those? And I'll be generous, Myrtletown, Cotton, which mm-hmm. our county obviously are part of Eureka functionally for this purpose.
Right.
How are you separating out those who really are Eurekans, either in spirit or geographically, from all of the others that may or may not want to influence decisions?
Well, first of all, with this this meeting this past week, which about 250 people came out to hear about city zoning and creative zoning, as we look at the whole zoning piece as part of the general plan update, that isn't the first time this similar presentation has kind of been made. Over the leading up to this, Rob and his staff held a couple meetings with stakeholders within the community. And by stakeholders, we're really talking about the development community, realtors, people of that nature. And I'm pretty sure none of them were from Fortuna or Arcata. This
was
really
easy to monitor because you're
brought them in
small scope. Yeah,
and kind of going over these issues, and it received a very favorable review from, in a sense, from those who are involved in building and filling commercial space and
so those are the landlords and the developers builders in the town. They're on board with the proposed.
Yes, and at this point, certainly it's still in formulation stages. But as we've looked at what was done well in Eureka from a building standpoint for a lot of years, versus what hasn't been done as well, it really became quite apparent that Broadway, that South Broadway, with smaller buildings, large parking in front, very just auto-dominated type services, is not the same type of business scale as Old Town downtown.
Well, duh.
Yeah, and so
one's commercial and one's the highway. Well, yeah, I get it.
But why didn't that South Broadway develop in a little bit different pattern than Old Town?
He's asking me. He's asking me. Well, watch out! I got answers when we come back. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, Eureka City Manager. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Greg, the concept, at least going back with some of the historical stuff, to make Eureka, and I don't think we'll ever be homogenous.
Right.
Okay, fine. And we're never going to be a planned community. Duh. You know, you've got the Victorian neighborhoods that were built up during that time, and then you've got the 50s. And then you've got the area around Jacobs that was built up later on. You know, it was farmland at one point. Now it's, you know, the low rent housing. So you've got all these things. You look at Broadway. Yeah, it was commercial, but it's commercial has changed from when the horse racetrack was down there at Wabash and Broadway to when Bucksport was a standalone community, when the fort was there. I mean, it was never built at one time. So to have this different sense about it is, I think, only natural.
Right. Yeah, and I think sometimes you look at the aesthetics in some areas and what maybe through, in a sense, through just better zoning requirements, how can that change the development patterns over the next 100 years? Because, right, we don't have, we're both, ocean, we're bay locked and landlocked by other urban development around us. So, redevelopment's going to be key. Certainly, as you'll take the next 40 years of what the general plan will be. And so, as we look at redevelopment, as the planning staff pointed out, all the types of development that are currently in Old Town, if one of those went down and you wanted to replicate it, the current zoning wouldn't allow you to do that. Now, maybe there's some, maybe in some cases there's some good reasons for that, but when you got something that this is the area where our more concentrated employment is within the Old Town, downtown area, it seems to be working pretty well. Parking always comes up from people, but certainly the parking studies that have been done show that, you know, by and large, there's not a parking problem in the Old Town, downtown area. There's enough surface parking, street parking. But
you could probably do some striping and get a little, you know, 10-15%
more. There's things you can
more.
Do through some
okay,
striping
fine.
And make some improvements. You really want it to be walkable, but yet convenient for drivers as well. So I think there's a number of goals you try to look at from in that general plan update in terms of what works well for the community, what works well as we continue to try to develop tourism and other outside investment in the community.
I was at a meeting last night, and we were having some discussion about this, and I'm not familiar with it, so I'm just kind of, you know, getting lippy like I tend to do. The discussion was about concentrated living, whether it's mother-in-law yeah. units or allowing another story to be built on a house, you know, those types of things, which, okay, in and of itself, one place is not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But when the Victorians, and so many of them now have been, I'll be nice and say chopped up, you know, into apartments rather than a family. And the
right.
carriage house is gone. So now you got eight people struggling to try to find parking on the street times five or six in one block. To look at that as a standard seems really goofy. To change it, okay, mm-hmm. you're going to have to knock down two-thirds of the block if you're doing parking ratio. How do you do things like that and try to keep some of the integrity of what Eureka is intact?
Yeah, because it seemed with the single-family Victorians, to have those all go to multifamily, that is certainly not the goal. You've had a lot of those large ones converted over the years, and yeah, you can see in some way that makes sense with smaller families and so on. But, you know, the state of California put through in 2016 new regulations, excuse me, about accessory dwelling units that have really, really make it much more difficult for us to, in a sense, regulate accessory dwelling units in single-family residential districts.
So those are the mother-in-law units, if you will?
The mother-in-law units.
Okay.
And I think in some that can be a good source of housing, particularly if it's done right. And I think we've seen examples in the community where it's done well, and others where, gee, they just kind of tack that on there.
Well, in the commercial areas, you know, the second,
yeah.
third floors is always looked at as an area for additional potential housing.
Right.
And, you know, it works well in a lot of communities. I mean, there's no question about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the parking options for that.
That is, I think, the thing that probably has precluded that as much as anything has been the parking, as well as Coastal Commission regulations.
And they don't waiver for that kind of thing, do they?
Well, you know, we are really, that's one of the things we're working on with this general plan update and zoning, is to try to make it easier to convert second floor space to residential.
It's kind of what they were when it was built.
Right. Because, number one, from a, it's not attractive retail space, a second floor. So it's not even, and there's a pretty large vacancy in second and third floor office space, and so the higher demand is for residential, and so I think that's certainly a pattern that we want to see. Certainly the council has indicated an interest in that as well, and
so that
come up with some ways
of
addressing parking.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of surface parking. In some cases, if they're using the parking overnight and it's available during the day, those kind of things can work.
That's a great relationship.
Yeah.
But if the cars just sit there all day and
then
they walk to work,
then that becomes an issue.
Yeah.
whether or not we're big enough to have, and the demand is there for structured parking,
That's a $5 million question.
At least a $5 million question, okay. Right, probably. but that could be potentially be desirable.
If the Coastal Commission would permit it. KINS News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 847. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, a couple of quick pops, and then I guess we're done for the week.
Yeah.
In lieu of parking fees, I know developers get nailed with those all the time. Those are supposed to go to additional parking.
Mm-hmm.
I've not seen a new parking lot put in a long time. I know these guys are still paying their fees. Where are those dollars going towards now?
Boy, there is a parking fund, and funds that go in there, they've been reserved for either building future parking or for maintaining parking lots.
Oh, it's a maintenance as well as an acquisition?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I understand that right, but I'll follow up on that as well.
Okay. Well, then we can talk about the weeds in the parking lot, but yeah. You bought some time for a month.
We don't generate as much funds for parking lots as what it costs to maintain them, by and large, over the years.
Is that a standard across the country?
You know, I would think it is because, you know, we've tried to make parking as cheap as possible.
You can't get much cheaper than free.
Yeah. And so when you have free parking, and quite frankly, you have a lot of times where free parking competes with paid parking. And, you know, I'm one of those, I'm willing to walk that extra block for free parking, whether it's one block.
We have a name
for
folks like you.
Do you really?
Starts with tight.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah, I mean, if you put like a dime in for 2 hours, nobody's going to complain about that.
No.
And you're going to get that rotation where now it seems like a lot of those tires are even flat because they haven't moved that length of time.
No, I know what you say. Believe me, I fed the meter in Monterey a couple weeks ago because that was one of the things I've noticed that has changed in Monterey in recent years. It used to be you could find free parking in Monterey. It's much harder to now. You gotta walk a long ways for free parking there now.
You know, I know that's the anti-mall argument. You know, free parking at the mall, if it's within 100 feet, you go there. If it's 200 feet, it's a major inconvenience.
And right.
I suppose we've trained the dog to go that way.
That has been the training over the years.
Yeah. Well, I guess times can change both the directions, can't they?
They can, and we are certainly looking at parking and different parking concepts going forward in the future.
Well, and still continuing to let Old Town grow.
Yes.
Yeah. Interesting dichotomy. We'll talk about Old Town and growth next month, okay?
That sounds good.
Lots of cool stuff.
Okay.
See everybody tomorrow and on Monday.